Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast back once again. It is your host, Robert Digital, a.k.a. Bobby, here with Ender's Logic, a.k.a. Emilio, and Flopsy, a.k.a. Chad.
Yo, what up?
Because you can't game while you're cooking.
Yep.
While you're cooking. You can't play cooking games, and I'd like to recommend a great one. Cook, Serve, Delicious. That's the name of the game. Cook, Serve, Delicious.
Is this like cleaning up? After
I'd eat there if it was a restaurant. That sounds awesome.
It is a restaurant, and you have to make food when you get customers, and like this customer will come up and says, I want a hamburger, lettuce, tomato, and that's it. So you have to like put in certain keys. You know, you have to hit certain keys to make this happen. You can use the mouse, but it's much quicker to use a keyboard shortcut.
So it turns you into like a McDonald's drive-thru employee.
Basically. But then you can upgrade like your oven or you can upgrade your bathroom or put rat traps so you don't have to chase rats around.
You secretly just want to do menial labor, I think is what it comes down to.
I think
to.
That's where we're headed with games. I mean, think about it. Look at all these games that we're doing, like objective-based games. Okay, well, what about Rust? We spent like 6 hours building
a house. You're killing zombies, though.
We spent 6 hours building a house.
Yeah, building a house, though, that's something, I don't know. You know, there's design that goes into that, but cleaning up blood. I mean, I'm not going to let you off the hook with that one, man.
I don't know. But wait till you play the game, and then you can talk to me.
Not going
to
do it. I'm going to be prejudiced on this one.
All right. So,
My people mopped enough floors.
That's true.
Oh, he's going to play the race card now.
It's true.
All right.
You can't see what the race is in those spacesuits, man. I'm telling you.
Well, assumptions can be made. Be advised if you're listening to this. Some people on the podcast are drinking. So, you know, if things get sloppy, you hear some bottles clanking or some liquid being poured, that may be what's happening.
If it goes on the equipment, we're fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, don't spill that.
But, we'll try not to.
So coming up in the next couple of weeks, we got some exciting stuff. Emilio and I are going to be upgrading our computers. Emilio is finally going to be able to do some recording. We're hopefully going to get some stuff out there on YouTube, start putting out more video content. I've started streaming a lot more. I got the stream linked on my Steam profile page. I'm trying to keep that going whenever I'm playing a game, just have Twitch on.
Let's be honest here. You're upgrading. I'm getting some hand-me-downs.
Yeah, but my hand-me-downs are nothing to scoff at.
Nice. Yeah, I mean,
like inheritance.
I would take those.
It sounds nicer than hand-me-downs.
Yeah.
You hit some of the Bobby estate.
It's good shit. And what a bargain. But we're also going to be posting to the Steam group a lot. If you're in our Steam group on Steam, DL Gaming, you know, when I hear about like free games or if I've got some extra copies of games, I'll post on there. If you hit me up, then I can hook you up with that. A lot of free games this week, it seemed. We had Dead Space, which was free on Origin, and Red Orchestra, which we'll talk about later. But that was...
Dead Island? Was that free?
It's in beta, and they just I had signed up for the beta, and they sent me four copies.
Because it's a four-player game.
Yeah, exactly. So I took one, I gave two to you, and the other one I posted on.
Very cool.
On
we actually site. Played with one of our listeners.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was fun.
All right, but yeah, we'll talk about that later. Right now, what do you want to get into?
Let's talk about that hardware for a bit. So you want to go over kind of what you're upgrading and what kind of changes you're doing first?
Yeah, we'll do all the tiers.
Yeah,
we'll do top tier,
mid tier, and then the low tier.
Well, if you want to see exactly what my hardware is, I actually I've been fooling around with 3D Mark, and I took a screenshot. It's on my Steam profile under artwork. If you want to see exactly what my 3D Mark rating is and what hardware I'm working with, I got a really good configuration here, and I'm actually just going to be upgrading parts, not a full upgrade here. Upgrading the processor, finally going to Haswell. May 10th is when the new Haswell refresh comes out, so I'm going to be grabbing one of those. Intel, the new chipset for motherboards is going to be out, the 9 series. And the cool thing about this, these new motherboards are going to be able to support M2 SATA, which is it's a new type of solid-state drive that has a faster connection than the old SATA. Connects directly into a PCI Express 1 port, I think. And it's supposed to be a lot quicker. We don't really have too many of them out yet, but Computex is coming up soon, which is kind of like a smaller E3, I guess. I think it's like
the on the hardware side.
Yeah, I think it's in like Taiwan or something. It's
Sounds like it.
But yeah, they focus a lot on hardware, and we're expected to see a lot of these SSDs at Computex. So I'm excited. It's going to be great. It's really not going to be that much of a performance boost for me, but it's been like almost 2 years.
You're getting like twitchy for not upgrading.
You got to get in there, right?
I mean, I build a new rig every year, so for me to go this long without doing it, then yeah.
Well, I mean, haven't we kind of gotten to the slowdown that they've been talking about for years? Like, we're now doing small increments now instead of these giant leaps that used to.
Not at the top end, right? I believe that.
I don't know.
I think the Moore's Law is still in effect. I believe it's still doubling every 2 years or something on the high end. Well,
Intel's new chips were supposed to be out like way sooner, but they've been postponed. And a theory behind that is they aren't selling as many of the Haswells, and they aren't selling as many because the performance gain wasn't that big over Ivy Bridge. So people are thinking they're just trying to get rid of all their extra stock before they move on to the new product.
Could be.
But yeah, it's definitely slowed down.
Now, since you're picking up things on day one, are you ever worried, concerned about, you know, compatibility or anything
that? Absolutely. And I rarely pick things up on day one, because a couple years ago, there was a issue with Intel processors that came out, and some compatibility problem with the motherboard. Huge problem. They fixed it like a month or two later, but all the early adopters really suffered. So I'm a little worried about that, but this is just a refresh. This is not a whole new architecture for the processor. Okay. So I think it's a safe bet. What I am concerned about is the Intel 9 series chipset. That could go either way, but you know,
it's untested.
Yeah, but motherboards are always a risk. That's the most unstable part of any rig. Hmm. But what do you even know what hardware you're using, Emilio?
Yeah, I actually wrote it down here.
Got the specs.
Yeah, give me a sec. Okay, so I have I have the Windows rating. Do you give anything to it?
I guess you could. I don't.
Do you know what yours was?
I have no clue. You're running Windows 7, right?
Windows 7, yeah.
Windows 7 did improve their Windows rating. So, yeah, I don't know. It could be considered a decent rating.
Out of 5.9, whatever that means. Out of 10, I'm assuming?
I think it's actually out of 7, or I can't remember. It's been a while.
So, anyway, AMD Phenom 2. That's the chipset X6 2.8.
So you got an AMD chip, right?
Yeah.
You do only Intel, though, pretty much, right?
I do now. I used to be strictly AMD, but, you know, maybe like 8 years ago, like, Intel started to be the dominant chip for gaming. I mean, AMD is still a great deal, but Intel is definitely the way to go now.
So it's not like you were a Ford guy for life and jumped over to
Chevy. I switched sides, man. Yeah. I used to be an ATI guy.
Whatever the best is, right?
Yeah, whatever the best is. Yep. I used to be ATI, and I jumped over to NVIDIA.
I've got 8 gigs of RAM, 64-bit, and I'm running a GeForce GTX 560 Ti.
Okay.
And what are you giving him? What's the upgrades he's getting?
Well, he's going to be... Well, first of all, he's getting a solid state, which is going to make a huge difference. He's moving up to a GTX 760, which is going to be a huge jump in performance for the graphics card, especially with gaming. That's where your biggest difference is going to be. And the processor you're getting from me is an i7 3770K, which is, I think that's, the Ivy Bridge. That was the one right before Haswell, and it was the top tier for those ones.
The one the thing I'm looking forward to the most, besides recording, I mean, that's really big for me, is there's a bunch of Skyrim mods that I can't run right now. Like, the graphics are just too good. It's too extreme. I can't do it. So it can get even prettier, that game, and I can't believe it. I'm excited about that. Being able to record, that's going to be good. And from what I've heard, the biggest single thing you can do for performance gains is an SSD, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, not necessarily
not
for
performance,
graphics.
I get, but just overall.
Yeah, for your computer. Right. The most noticeable difference you can make is an SSD. It just makes everything so much quicker. It's ridiculous. I took a look at your rig last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, and I was surprised with what you were working
on. You laughed so hard it was like someone was tickling you, man.
Well, this is going to be a significant upgrade for you, man. This is going to be... I'm more excited for you than I am for myself. So, Chad, what are you working on?
All right. So, I got an Intel i5 3.4 gigahertz. It's one of the Haswell models.
Okay.
8 gigs of RAM DDR3. I'm rocking a Radeon 7700. And I got 500 gigs. I'm assuming of the 7200 RPM, you know, the
standard.
And an ASRock Z87 motherboard. So the question I had is, if I had a couple $100 to spend, you heard my what I just went, where would you be putting that money?
I would definitely start with an SSD. I mean, that is just going to improve.
And they're down below.
They're under $1 per gig now.
They're under $1 per gig.
Yeah.
And how many gigs do you need?
Well, that varies per person.
Right.
But theoretically, you can run one strictly for your Windows, right? And
yeah.
And then you put your other stuff on
ideally, you want to put your games.
You want to put your Windows installation and all your games on your SSD and any programs or applications you have. So the access time is really low and you can just run them very quickly.
How big is a operating system?
For Windows 7 or 8? Yeah, 15, 20 gigs, I want to say.
Yeah, so... Man, I mean, the games are getting pretty big now.
Yeah, though. You probably need like 200.
I would say
like
it's safe.
250.
256 is a safe bet. I've got a buddy that uses a 128, but all he plays is World of Warcraft and occasionally some other stuff. But if you've got a pretty big Steam library, I'd probably go with the 256 at least.
So you're looking at about $250 for that, right?
Probably cheaper. I would definitely check out the Samsung Evo series.
The Samsung?
Yeah, they've got a great line. I really like theirs. I'm using Crucial M4s. I've got two in a RAID 0, which we won't get into that, but it's basically two hard drives working as one, so it's much faster. And those are great, but like Samsungs, if I could trade those for Samsungs, I totally would.
All right. That's where I'm going.
Maybe you should get the Samsung ones, and I'll buy your old ones.
The Radeon 7700, though, that's still a decent card.
You know, I don't know about that. That's actually it's a good card. You got a great processor too. The i5s for Intel are awesome.
Yeah, that's the Haswell.
And it's a Haswell
chipset. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but the 7700, I can't comment on too much. I'd have to look up some benchmarks. There are a ton of benchmarks out there that'll compare any card to like anything, and it'll compare it using certain games or certain like testing software like 3DMark. You guys should see if you can run 3DMark too, and see what kind of rating you get on your system.
Now, how much did you pay for it, or did you
the software?
Yeah,
I got it on sale for like $5 or $7.50 when it was on Steam.
Yeah,
but since we're sharing libraries, you guys might be able to run it on mine.
Right, I'll try it out. Account. Yeah.
Did you want to talk about sharing?
Yeah, so we tried it for the first time. Did you have any other hardware things to talk about?
Oh, no, let's move on to the sharing, the Steam.
You're turning me on with all your knowledge, dude.
Yeah.
I mean...
I'm excited.
You turned my brain off, but my heart was in it.
Mine was a little farther south, but...
Yeah, same concept. That must be the alcohol talking.
So, Bobby came over and you had to put in your Steam password and all that, right?
I had to log in to my account while I was on your computer.
Right.
And then I authorized your computer.
Yep. And now I can play, I think, pretty much anything that's on Bobby's library of games. And it's really cool because it lets you know in a funny way. I thought it was funny when his games are available. As soon as he logs off, it doesn't say... Digi has logged off or whatever it is, it says has gone offline. It now says, yay, you now have access to all of Digi's games.
So if you're in the middle of playing one of his games and he logs on, does it just...
I get booted, yeah.
Immediately?
Yeah,
Man. Gotta do the quick save.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
No!
And I'm always on that Steam account farming cards, doing whatever, although I've farmed just about everything I can at this point. But... Yeah, that does kind of suck, but I guess that's kind of the incentive to get you to buy the game. Like, if you're playing someone else's and, like, you keep getting booted, then it's like, well, maybe I'll get it myself.
Yeah, that's what they're basically demos
good
at this point.
Yeah, demos are good advertisement.
Yeah, for sure. Now, do you want to tell Chad what your Steam global ranking was? I was impressed.
I think I'm...
Let him guess.
Okay, so out of...
Tell him the top guy, tell him your score, and then let him
wait,
guess.
Wait, out of how many?
Everybody.
Out of everybody, like the top Steam ranks. So you know how you can get levels on your Steam account.
And
you know,
he can't stop laughing. He's so giddy. He's so giddy.
I've been getting a little too crazy with it, man. Like, I got to slow myself down.
Okay, I'm going to say...
Wait. You haven't heard any
Okay, so the top guy, the top rated, top rank is 287 right now by a guy from, I think it's like Wisconsin or something.
A U.S. guy, I'm surprised.
Yeah, U.S.
I would have thought somewhere in the Balkans. Okay, 287, and what's your rank?
I am, as of now, I'm 159.
Okay, so I'm going to say...
And I'm 9.
I'm going to say top 10,000.
Top 10,000?
I mean, that's pretty high up.
Out of all the people in the world,
yeah.
I'm in the top 10,000?
Yeah, because, what, there's 100 million Steam users more? How many?
All right. Lower.
Okay. Obviously, that was ridiculous, so I'm going to say top 1,000.
Okay. Lower.
Holy shit.
Much.
Top 250?
Let's speed this up a bit. I am in the top 100.
Oh my god, are you serious? Yeah,
and now it's probably lit on fire.
Well, no,
ass.
Because you use green jelly or whatever it's called.
Oh, green jelly. Green. What is that? Green alpha. Green luma.
Green luma.
Yeah, I was accused of using green luma, so obviously.
You're top what? Top 100.
I'm number 67.
Holy.
If you go to steamrank.net, you can see where you measure up to other people who have wasted way too much money on Steam trading cards. And yes, I am number 67 in the world. Yeah.
And it was 69 last night when he told me, so.
Yeah, I'm moving on up, man. I am just.
What'd you do last night to move up two spots? And I imagine that it's getting harder for each spot.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, I've got a system. I've actually considered making a YouTube video about how to level up as much as possible with spending the least amount of money.
Because,
you know, I'm pretty cheap, but.
Ambitious and frugal.
Yes.
You should do that.
Deadly combination.
Might actually try it out. See if I could get.
Because I've got
above,
it down to a science.
See if I can get above 50 million.
But I still don't understand what the point is. I know that you get perks.
It's just kind of like street cred. Yeah. I get a lot of people.
Game cred.
Yeah, exactly. And there's kind of like a hidden community of these high-ranking people. I've friended a few of them, and some of them are pretty cool. If you look on people who have a really high rank on Steam, if you look on their profile, some of them have guidelines. They're like, you can friend me, but you know, you have to always speak to me in English. You can't beg me for games, which happens a lot. You have to be level 30 or higher. Like, they have these stipulations, which are kind of crazy.
Well, hey, you're going to have to set that pretty soon, too.
Level 30 or higher, I can't be your friend.
You can be my friend.
I gotta get befriended.
Did you see that text that he sent us of the guy that was bugging him for a game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's like,
Digi. Yep. Digi. All right. Games, got any hats? Digi.
Well, you know, that actually brings up an interesting point. I also wanted to mention, we don't really do, well, we have show notes, but we don't post them. But I think I'm going to start leaving comments on our website. So when we post an episode, you guys have accounts, so we can leave comments of stuff. And I'm going to start posting like screenshots of things we talk about or, you know, like a screenshot of that rant.
Or eventually links to the video.
Yeah, links to videos that we mention, links to anything that we mention, just so you have some context for whatever the hell we're talking about.
What I've always wanted to, because I listen to so many podcasts, there, and when the podcast is playing, you know, you have the front page of that podcast on.
Mm-hmm.
If there was links right there, it would be fucking perfect. If somebody figures that out, well, it's going to have to be
Apple. No, I think a lot of them do that. Well, I don't know if like your podcast.
Well, you have to do it from the website, but if you're doing it through iTunes, I think.
But a lot of the ones I listen to, they do theirs live, and they have a chat room going and stuff, and they have show notes that you can click on, and anything they talk about or mention, you can get right to. You can go back and watch old episodes too. So yeah, I'd like to kind of incorporate that a little more with this, so people can see whatever we're talking about.
Yeah, we could have done that when we had a producer, but now that we've hired him and he's in the big money, he's gone all Hollywood.
Too important to be doing that garbage.
So
shall we actually talk about games?
Let's talk about some games.
Yes.
What games?
Should we talk about what we're playing or what we are planning to play?
Let's talk about some new releases first. And I think the first one that we should mention is Dark Souls 2.
I'm picking it up.
I already bought it.
So it's a buy and a buy for you guys.
Yeah.
With no knowledge.
For me.
With no knowledge of what it is. Have you guys played the original Dark Souls? Have you played Dark?
No.
Soul? No. What was the first one?
The original, I don't know. But it had a soul in it.
I think it was Dark Soul, then it was Dark Souls, and now this is Dark Souls 2. Yeah. Have you guys played any of them?
Yeah.
No.
There's three in the series.
I have no history at all with this game. I've had people tell me that you've got to do a little bit of research and like look up combos and stuff, but I think I'm going to go into this completely blind and just rely on my years and years of gaming knowledge to get me through this.
Apparently it's supposed to be really hard.
Yeah.
That's like kind of what the series is built around.
Yeah, punishment.
Yeah, punishing.
Yeah, it's very unforgiving. But you know what? I want to check it out because it is an insanely popular game. It's the number one seller on Steam right now. A lot of people
Metascore like 97.
Yeah, really high Metascore. Mm. So I feel like, you know, there's some games that I feel like it's kind of a rite of passage. Like every gamer needs to have a little experience in that, and I think this is one of them. So
I would say the original Dark Soul was the rite of passage. That was the one that really blew up the series, you know.
That was the one.
Well, I heard plenty of it at work. No, everybody was playing that game, but I never got into the series. I think I like that it can be difficult and challenging. I think games nowadays are way too easy, but I'm not sure I'm necessarily ready to. When a game frustrates me, it really frustrates me.
He's our local rage quitter.
it really bugs me. So yeah. I'm not sure if I'm ready to do this, but maybe I'll watch you play a little bit and see.
These words passed through his mouth yesterday. Guys, I'm gonna have to log off. I just can't. I just can't.
Well, you were throwing yourself. What were you doing? You were throwing
Winning.
Yourself. We were playing Dead Island Epidemic.
Oh, was that game? I thought you were talking about Smite.
Oh, it was Smite.
Yeah.
And I give my life for all. I just straight into the enemies,
overextending,
over and over again.
Yeah, but you had mentioned, Emilio, you had mentioned that this Dark Souls 2 is co-op.
Yeah, well, multiplayer. See, it's somehow tricky though. It's not like, hey, I'm going to invite you to a group and then we go in. Mm-hmm. From what I gathered. Man, we sound like such tools not knowing anything about this. But it's not like
that's the idea.
A group. But the multiplayer in that game is like you're playing online and people can invade your realm. And then they come in and I don't know what they do. They fuck you up and steal your shit, maybe. Kind of like GTA Online.
Okay.
But also there is a co-op version. So maybe you invade my game, but instead of killing me, we work together. Mm-hmm. But I think that friendly fire is on, so... You know, if you swing the wrong direction or whatever, that's going to hit me.
All right.
I think that's how it works.
So. I know in the earlier games in the series, like, you could basically be ghosts in the other people's games,
right.
And, like, write stuff and try to get them to do things that were wrong. So you could, like, basically grief them in the other game. Yeah, so I don't know how this game's going to work.
And you know what? I have this super vague answer, and it's after looking through it. Looking it up, I looked at the fact. I still don't understand how it works. Hmm. So
yeah. We see the exciting part about this game to me is that I have no clue, like no bearing at all on this game at all, and that's how I'm going to go into it.
But you know it's good also. It might not be your cup of tea, but you also know
this. Yeah, but I don't know how to play it. It's completely foreign to me, and this is a game that I think you have to research a lot.
It's got a pedigree, though. Like, with the first two that are good, is it by the same developer? Do we know?
I believe so.
So, like...
Gotta be.
Especially a game like this where it's not reinventing the wheel, it's kind of iterating on it. You know it's going to be a good quality game.
Yeah. And the console scores were like in the 90s as well. So they just did a really good job. And it's always good when a AAA title does what it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I will be recording, possibly streaming, my first ever experience with Dark Souls anything. So I think that'll be entertaining.
Cool. And then eventually we should be recording some multiplayer when I get back next week. That's going to be my focus next week. As far as this week, last night I thought it was only free for one night. I didn't know Red Orchestra. I thought it was free for 24 hours. So I stayed. That's why I was up till fucking 3 in the morning. So I was like, you know, I went through the tutorial and I'm like, whoa, this... Kind of a high learning curve. I like the graphics. The graphics are really cool, kind of realistic. And the learning curve is like squad, like how to command your squad and stuff. So I was wondering, like, why do you have to command your squad? It's a first-person shooter. And then driving the tank, there's a lot to drive in a tank. Like, there's four dudes in a tank, and each one has their job. And each one has to repair something if it breaks. And you have to actually physically look at it. The game's going for hyper-realism. But there's two modes you can play it in. You can play in a realistic, which is like one hit shit, you know, you're done, or two bullets and you're done. And then there's action, which is a little more forgiving. But
do you play as a squad even in multiplayer?
So
because that would be a cool concept.
You're kind of by default put into a squad, kind of like you were in in Insurgency. Remember? Okay. Yeah, kind of like that, but there's more than just two. You know, there's multiple squads.
Well, I just think it would be cool if you had a group of five and everybody had a group of five, because then you could be like 100.
That's what I thought originally when I was going through the tutorial. But no, it's just that everybody's by themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's basically you can take a command position and command troops, but you're on the ground as well. But from the game modes that I played, it was pretty much, you know.
That's kind of like natural selection, only you're playing also.
With the commander mode. You're on the ground. Yep. Okay. Which you are in natural selection until you get in that thing. Yep. But not like this. You have like some binoculars and you do it that way.
Huh.
As you would in real life. So yeah, so it's going for hyper realism. You can call in airstrikes and all that stuff.
It's a modern.
No, it's World War II.
World War II, okay.
Yeah, and so instead of I thought it was a funny touch, but better that they didn't go with the Japanese are not speaking Japanese and the Russians are not speaking, but they're speaking Russian or Japanese with the accent.
Okay.
I think that's a much better way of doing it. I always thought that because they're saying funny things, well, not funny, but more realistic things. The things that they're shouting is really, man, it feels realistic. Like they're calling for their mom and shit, or one dude will die and he'll just keep yelling for like 45 seconds. And he's right next to you and you're like, fuck, shut up. You know? and so I played three different maps, and the tank one was really confusing. I don't know how to drive a tank or do any of the other things. But the ones that were like wars of attrition and they had a front line, super fun, man. I was having a really good time. I was also doing really well, too. I think there's a lot of new players because of the free weekend or whatever.
And, so, Bobby, you're putting this up on our group that it's free? You're gonna get
I already posted. Yeah, cool. It's on our Steam group.
So imagine Insurgency in World War II. That's pretty much it, I would say.
Yeah. Okay.
I wanted to bring this up. I feel that World War II is probably the best setting for a shooter, just ever. I mean, the difference between guns was really extreme, unlike modern-day shooters. And it was just like an honorable war. It was almost like a war amongst gentlemen. I know there was atrocities, but as far as like, okay, we're not going to use poison gas and shit like that, and the nukes weren't really, tactical nukes weren't used and shit like that, so... You know, you had front lines, not like these days. So more now it's more like guerrilla. So as far as like a team-based shooter, I think World War II is the best setting. I know it's been done to shit, but it's for a reason.
Well, wouldn't you think the World War II is really what brought about the... I know Counter-Strike was one of the earlier good multiplayer shooters, but back in the day, Battlefield 1942...
Love that game.
And even before that...
Battlefield?
What am I thinking of? The Half-Life mod.
Oh, Day of Defeat.
Day of Defeat.
I played a lot of that.
Like, oh, good.
So I think our history in group, in online multiplayer shooters is based around World War II. I just think like we're used to it.
Are you saying that I have this opinion because...
It could be.
So many of the good games were
based in World War II. Our introduction to the genre was in World War II.
Yeah.
In a lot of respects.
Man, Day of Defeat's good.
Yeah. That was a great game. Yeah. It's funny how I feel like I have such a working knowledge of World War II guns because of so many World
Absolutely.
War II games.
Yeah.
Like, I recognize the gun right off the bat.
Dude, like, I was playing War at Orchestra, and I recognize all the guns from visually. Like, I knew them and what they do and how they would probably work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, all of that stuff. It's great.
Now, this game, Red Orchestra, came out a while ago, and it was by Tripwire Interactive. And I think about a year ago, a little over a year ago, they came out with a standalone expansion, Rising Storm. Is that what it was called? Yeah, Rising Storm. And I played a little bit of that. And a really good article came out around that time by PC Gamer, actually, where they had interviewed one of the guys from Tripwire, John Gibson, and he was talking about how Call of Duty was basically making gamers soft these days and how it took away... from these really challenging experiences that a first-person shooter should be. So Tripwire is kind of like a group of people that pride themselves on making really challenging, difficult games, like less forgiving, especially in a multiplayer setting. When I played Rising Storm, I swear I spent most of the time just in a trench waiting for just like a small glimmer of mm-hmm. opportunity to...
How it would be, too.
Yeah, also. Exactly. Very realistic.
Well, I think like... I think Insurgency did a really good balance between action but still danger. Like, it was a very unforgiving game, but you weren't just sitting there not moving.
I feel the same way about this. I feel that maybe even a little bit more towards the action side, because there are respawns more often if you play the right kind of map.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost exactly like Insurgency. There's some where you know, it's attrition, or you only have so many bodies. Or there's other ones where it's time and you just keep spawning and you're trying to take points. I enjoyed, except for the tank, because I didn't understand it. I enjoyed every...
Is there air combat at all?
There's no planes, no.
Okay. No helicopters.
The tanks are it's a force to be fucking fucked with. Like, it is just one tank and, like, against 50 dudes. I mean, there's anti-tank guys, but it's something scary. It's like a T-Rex.
Kind of like how I'm sure it really was.
Yeah, and it's and it sounds scary. Like, it's
do they have flamethrowers?
I haven't seen any, but I have limited a game.
It's interesting that they made an interesting move on this, where they didn't try to strike a balance between being too realistic and being too easy. Instead of trying to strike that balance, they just made one mode and action mode. Action mode is kind of that easy mode. Hmm. You know, that's more attuned to players who are used to Call of Duty.
I think easy or difficulty is hard to say, because me and Chad always have the discussion. I always say, as long as you're playing against other people that are playing on the same level playing field, the difficulty is going to be static. You know, it doesn't matter how hard it is to shoot someone, because the other guy is dealing with the same things you are. You know what I'm saying? So Call of Duty can be just as demanding, if not more, than a Red Orchestra, but one has to be more tactical, slower paced. You know what I'm saying? You're still dealing with humans.
I think one type of mode is
maybe more thoughtful.
It caters more to less experienced Twitch players. Based.
Yeah. One's more Twitch based,
right?
Well, like, you take a game like Loadout, and you've got characters, or you've got people coming in, and it's really easy. It's like a nice cushiony type of game. They can come in, they can take a couple of rounds to the face and not get blown up, and then realize, oh, I'm making a mistake, I got to get out of this danger zone and move over here. In Red Orchestra or Rising Storm, you know, you step in the wrong place, you get your head blown off, and then you don't really learn a lot from that. You got to do it several times and spend a lot more time to really get a feel for that game.
Yeah, valid point.
So it's a whole different environment, but still a great game. Like, if you're really into first person shooters, and especially if, like, you liked ones like right around the 2000s or maybe late 90s, like those kind of games, like Day of Defeat, awesome game. Like, Red Orchestra is a great game.
Now, I guess if you downloaded it last night, it was free, is what you said. I don't know if it's still...
Yeah, well, whenever I post April 23rd, it was free if you downloaded it.
But now it's $5. And I was going to say, hey, Chad, you should pick it up for $5. It's totally worth it. But then Insurgency is a really good game, too, and we're not playing that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, it feels... now that we're doing the podcast, I feel like there's even a bigger list of games that I'm not getting to. Although a lot of that is my own fault, because I keep going back to Smite... I keep going back to Hearthstone, which I think I'm just going to uninstall both of them, because...
You keep sucking me back into Smite. Yeah,
I don't have anything new to say when it comes to the podcast, so I think I'm just going to uninstall them. Skyrim, I'll never give up. But that comes with its own stories. Like, I'll have a Skyrim story.
There's a lot that can happen.
Please don't.
I feel like I'm turned off to games that, like, immediately... Like, Wildstar looks like a great game. Looks like a game I could totally get into, but it... I would never commit to it because there's so much else out there. And, like, I've been down the World of Warcraft path. But still, like, I like Wildstar, and part of me wants to play it.
I actually pre-ordered it this week. I had a lot of fun on the closed beta weekend. And
what was the benefit?
You get to keep doing the betas.
Oh, but so did we.
Yeah.
But you don't get to play during the weekdays yet?
No, not yet.
You get a three-day head start when it comes out.
But it's more like I just have an urge to play an MMO, and I haven't been playing WoW, even though it's, you know, I'm still paying the monthly fee. But so Wildstar was a genre change, so I'm gonna go with it a little bit, do 1 month. The one thing that I did find interesting is so it's a $15 a month, I believe. But that $15 buys you a cred, and what basically that cred, you can then go in-game and sell it for in-game currency on the marketplace. So what? So theoretically, people can do this. So you can purchase cred with real money and turn around and get gold for it. But conversely, you can get your in-game gold and buy a cred and get another 30 days. So theoretically, if you are earning enough gold, this game is free to play. Because if you're earning enough gold, you can buy creds each month, and then you don't have to do your monthly.
It makes it a much more... The relationship between real money to in-game money is much closer than in other MMOs.
Well, this is kind of, in my mind, destroying the gold farming market that would exist.
Right, I think so too, because there's a set price.
Because they're making a buy for gold, theoretically,
right,
in the game.
But that won't fluctuate.
No, it will. It'll be determined based on what the players are setting to sell the cred for. Because it's... You can,
but it won't go too crazy because a cred's always going to be the same amount of a... I mean, you're going to buy it from WildStar, whoever's making it, right? That's going to be a set price.
Yeah, correct.
Right, so it's always going to be around that. It's
so
never going to go crazy.
The player's always going to sell just below that.
Yeah, right.
So it'll help control
no,
the market.
You can only sell it in-game for gold. You can't sell it for real money.
Right, but the gold you can be... Oh,
but there's a conversion rate.
The only way you can... You can't make actual money.
Right.
You can... get creds, and creds will extend your gameplay.
Right.
But you can't turn around and do anything.
But you can sell creds for real money.
No. You can sell creds for gold in-game. I'm sure you could...
Yeah. There's going to be a market.
I'm sure there'll be a market.
What I'm saying is that black market or gray market, if you want to call it, will be somewhat controlled within the game because it's not going to get too much more or much less than a cred.
But it would be like anything else. You could sell, like, the gold for real money. You know, it's just the same thing. But this has a way for them to actually convert real money into gold using an in-game mechanic.
I see.
So I thought that was kind of an interesting thing.
It is interesting.
And I want to see how they pull it off.
I thought it was great, too. I mean it's super buggy. I ran into many, many bugs.
It's so early.
But what did I say? Sly Cooper last time? It's a little more Ratchet & Clank, actually.
Yeah.
Really Ratchet & Clank.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't even know why I know these graphics, but I guess you see them on TV or whatever. But it's like that cartoony sci-fi, kind of cheeky, like... My guy runs around with his chest really puffed out, you know, kind of like with any.
And what do you say when
like
you level up?
He's like,
"You're the shit," or something like that.
You leveled up. You're the shit.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, really, really cheesy, but funny, you know.
Yeah,
it was good for.
I think there's a beep in there too.
Yeah,
but kick ass.
There's another game that just came out, I believe, called Trial Fusion.
Oh, yeah.
So that's part of the Trial series.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys played that? Because, I'm looking at it and it looks really cool, and I know that it's been around for a couple years. I haven't actually played this series before.
What is it?
It's like a dirt bike or a quad racing game.
Yeah,
like Desert Toys.
But it's 2D, so you're on a track, so it's...
Excitebike.
Yeah, it's pretty similar to Excitebike. You can control the angle, you can do tricks. They have up to 4-player, you know, kind of mode that you can play simultaneously. And it's I don't think you control left or right. It's more like controlling your bike up, how fast you're going, how slowing it down,
pitch
and stuff like that. But it's got like these crazy tracks, you know, with loops and all sorts of stuff like that. So I saw that. It looks cool. The game is, what I found odd is the game's $19.99 and then the season pass is $19.99, but you can get the deluxe mode for $39.99 and it's got both of those. But you're actually paying a cent more for the deluxe mode, which I think is just... I know it's 1 cent, but like that's just ridiculous that somehow it got through all those layers of marketing and everything else.
There's
got
to be something else, dude.
I looked at it. It said it contains the game and the season pass. That's what it says on the...
Could have been a soundtrack or an art book or something.
I swear to God. It says those two items. That's all it says. But yeah, so if you're listening... Don't buy the deluxe. Buy the two individually ones. Save yourself a cent.
We're all about the savings here.
Exactly.
Listen to our podcast. We'll save you money.
Yeah. So I was thinking about maybe trying it out. $20 doesn't seem ridiculous. And it's got a pretty good Metacritic.
Do you remember what it was?
No, I think it was 87.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, these are popular games.
Correctly.
Like I had a friend over like maybe a month ago or something, and he had specifically asked if I had had... had one of these trials games, and I was like, I don't think I've ever heard of that. And sure enough, I look in my Steam list, and there it is.
Oh, jeez.
I'm pretty sure... No, you don't have this one.
No, not this one. It was
you had already bought Dark Souls. That was the one that I saw you had bought already.
Yeah.
It's so... Good. I mean, I don't have a crazy amount of Steam friends, but when it's... Your friends have purchased, and all three are him, and then what your friends are playing, and all three are Bobby as well. Six pictures of Bobby. Like all the way down. Just
all over your profile.
Hey, you don't get to fucking 67 for slouching around.
There's one more game coming out that I thought was really interesting. It's called Child of Light. It's a Ubisoft game.
I saw that. I clicked on it.
Yeah, that piqued my interest as well.
So I looked at it, and the question I have is graphics a sole reason for buying a game? Because this game is the prettiest game I think I probably have ever seen. It looks hand-drawn, the colors are amazing, very fluid, and it looked like a side-scroller to me, you know, but it was super pretty.
If it's so aesthetically pleasing that it invokes emotion, that's art, and you're buying art, right?
Yeah.
And if it's worth it to you, then
that's what I'm saying, like, I mean, but then it didn't show any actual, like, gameplay until the very, very end of the trailer.
I see.
And then... It took me I did like a double take, and before I realized it's a turn-based RPG game, but it's like so pretty, and you think it's a side scroller the whole time, and then all of a sudden she's battling like three just standard monsters or whatever, and so it's like I don't really have any interest in playing a turn-based RPG right now, but the thing was so pretty, like I almost want to play it just to see it.
No, that's not entirely bad. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. It does look... I mean, if that kind of artistic design speaks to you, yeah, go for it. Because I have bought games just solely on how they look. One of those games was Guacamelee, and I do not regret that.
Monaco, right?
Monaco, not so much.
What was that other one that was like super trippy? That you were saying the graphics were really good?
Monaco is pretty crazy and out there, for sure.
Yeah,
but you don't buy it because... Yeah.
Like, I saw Guacamelee, and I'm just like, all right, yeah, sold.
Yeah, I mean, the art style is so
just
cool.
Just from the picture.
The music, fuck it.
Yeah, but that turned out to be a good game regardless.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You do run the risk. I mean, it could be a shitty game with great graphics.
I'd give that game, like, a 9 out of 10. Like, it was that good.
Yeah. We've talked about it.
I know.
I looked up the score for Trials Fusion on Metacritic, 80. Not bad.
Oh, okay.
Pretty solid.
So, real quick.
drink.
What do you think the best graphics you've ever seen to date? Let's go down the line here.
Just what I think, what I liked the most, or what I think was the actual best?
What you think is the actual best. I'm going to just say mine, what you guys think of yours, because I just saw it. There was some gameplay footage of Star Citizen that PAX. Wow.
Yeah.
So you haven't played it. Once you play it on your computer, that's what matters. Like any trailer they show you, even if they say this
wasn't a trailer, the guy was actually playing.
Well, yeah, even if they say that, though, like, you know, who knows what they're playing it on.
They're probably playing on a Super Monster Rig, for sure. You know, they're probably playing on the, what's that thing called? The LPC, the Large Pixel Collider.
Oh, yeah.
That's so awesome.
Game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm saying until you actually see it on your monitor, like that's when I make the judgment.
So what was
call.
The prettiest
well, let's
game?
Let's do both then.
What was the prettiest game that you've seen on your computer?
I don't know if I could like just pick one out of the like, because I'll name one and then like later tonight I'll think of another one that was way better. But some that have looked really, really good recently in the past was like Far Cry 3 and Blood Dragon. Both
of
those.
Far Cry 3's got a good
look. Great.
That's a testament definitely to your... to your rig, because I was not impressed by that graphics.
Yeah, and you know, I had some trouble running it too. Like, it did glitch in a few places, but I would probably have to go with like either the Batman games or possibly Tomb Raider just for the physics.
And hey, you said something good about Tomb Raider.
The graphics. But like, it's especially with like those games, you know, the physics really plays a big part because you can see the cape and the papers and the hair like wrap around objects and
And the 3D vision was really good in that game.
On the 3D, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I'd probably have to go with one of those games.
Don't ask me. My computer is a piece of shit.
Okay, but what have you seen? Even if it's,
I would probably go with like a Final Fantasy VII or something like that. Like an old school for its time.
No, we're talking about for its time.
For its time, it was probably like.
I mean, we could just say
my original question got shot to shit. What are the best graphics you've seen?
Graphics just keep getting better. So you're going to just say whatever.
I said to date.
Okay, Star Citizen. Yeah, I agree with you. Star
Citizen. Oh, you've seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it. It was amazing.
You got to have it in front of your face before you make that call.
So you're saying you're not going to answer my question?
He said it.
No, I did. Tomb Raider. I'm going to go with Batman.
Tomb Raider.
No.
Tomb Raider.
No, but that you've seen.
That I've seen in front of my face.
No, video or whatever.
Video? Anything. I don't know.
You're putting him on the spot.
I don't know. I couldn't give a solid answer for that.
Should we talk Dead Island Epidemic a little bit?
Yeah, please do. Because
really interesting game. I think that's the number one word that we used when we were playing it.
Yeah.
Interesting concept. It's funny because Chad had come up with the concept while we were playing Rust. When he was like, hey, what if we farmed and it was a MOBA? You know, we're all working together.
I had pictured it in a first-person perspective, but
it's basically what this is. It's a top-down, isometric hack and slash, kind of like Diablo-esque, but MOBA-esque in that you always start at level one, and you pick your four abilities as you go.
Your number four ability.
Yeah, you have huge. Did you play it, Bobby?
I have not played it yet.
Okay, so... So what we said so far, you know, you can put your points into whatever abilities you want as you level up. You know, you have your initiator, your DPS, your tank. There's a healer for sure, and there's like a tankish guy. That big guy's got to be a tank,
right? And it's necessary to fill all these roles.
No.
Oh, okay, so there's some variety.
We just lucked out because we were actually playing with a podcaster. Shout out to Lions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. We were having a lot of fun. He was the healer. I was the DPS, and Amino was the.
Get some clutch heals. Initiator. Thank you.
Yeah, he did.
There a couple seconds.
Hey, that's my job.
Yeah.
What am I going to do now?
Yeah,
I was like
in the tank.
So there's four teams. This is the way it's intended to be played. There's four teams.
There's four players on a team. There's three teams.
There's three teams.
Yeah.
There's four players on a team, three teams.
So it's 12 players total on a map.
And they start at extremes outside of the map, and you rush towards the center of the map at the same time. But there's zombies, and there's walls to slow you down.
Barricades,
whoever's being more efficient gets to the actual game faster, right? Once you get to the game, there are objectives, capture points that you can take, and you get resources for holding a capture point. Now the other teams are still doing the same thing, and you have turrets protecting your small area, but it's not protecting your flag. But
it's not a flag. You're trying to get supplies. You're trying to get 1,000 supplies. So killing things will drop supplies. So you're carrying these supplies, and you got to get it back to your base and unload them. But if you die, you drop all your supplies. So that's when the PvP aspect comes in. So people are trying to come in, kill you while you're on your way to back to your base.
And I believe you move slower the more supplies you're carrying.
So
you're really vulnerable when people come in.
Now, is this the only game mode, or are there other game modes?
So there's a prologue, which basically explains how to play it. Then there's a horde mode, which is basically four players against the computer with a kind of a boss at the end. And you're supposed to play that till you get up to like level 4 or whatever, and then basically the real mode opens up, and that's the 4v4.
Yeah, that horde mode does not prepare you for PvP.
Yeah,
PvP was very intense. It's like a MOBA where you have to focus somebody down,
and there's healing going on, and it's crowd control, and all sorts of things going on.
And I think the part that makes it really interesting is that. This guy that's the most valuable to kill isn't always the guy that's doing the more damage. Like, we got to take that guy out. He's their highest level. It's the guy that has the most loot because he's moving the slowest.
So if you kill him the easiest. If you kill him while he's carrying loot, can you pick his loot up?
Yeah, he drops it.
He drops 100% of it.
Wow. Yeah.
And he's not back in the game for like 20 seconds.
I'm excited to play this game.
Now, that being all said, I mean, it doesn't look that great.
I can live
with that. It plays okay. It plays okay.
So I was having a lot of problems with the controls. Amil liked the controls.
Yeah.
I was expecting a point-and-click, top-down, MOBA-style game. Mm-hmm. This is not like that. WASD controls the up-down, right?
That's what he asked for when we were playing League of Legends, actually.
Yeah. It's very much... But you can only go in eight directions. You got up, down, left, right, and then you got each of the angles if you push in two buttons at once.
What do you need?
But I'm just saying, like... In this case, I would like to plug a controller in and have the dual sticks.
Possibly.
I could be a controller game, but I feel limited with a controller.
So, but the other aspect of this game, which I think is cool, although we didn't get into it much, is you've got a workbench where you can actually make the weapons that you equip. So you've got a melee weapon and a ranged weapon. So everybody starts off with a paddle as their melee weapon and
shotgun,
kind of a shotgun sort of thing. But you can start getting these, and so you earn these patterns and materials.
A lot of duct tape.
From playing the game. Like, and so you have to actually craft weapons. So you're leveling your guy up, but you're also working on getting your weapons up. And also, it's kind of got kind of an RPG element a little bit into it.
I guess so, yeah. A little bit of like luck, because it's random drops well. The drops were much better in the... We took third place, our only game that we played. Yeah. Out of three teams.
Yeah.
But
it was a strong third place.
Yeah.
So
sure.
Bronze.
We almost came. Yeah. That's the best way you could possibly say it.
Go back a little bit. Were you saying that you can get drops? So can you like level up your character like permanently? Like,
yes. Yeah. But you always start a game in level one. Just like in Smite, your player level.
So do other people who have been playing longer have advantages over.
Yes. Up to level 16, you're unlocking things. So when you hit level 2, you unlock your third ability. And when you hit level 3, you unlock your fourth ability. So you don't get all four. You don't get your ultimates until you hit level 3.
But I'm not saying advantages inside one game. Let's say I played like 20 games. Do I get experience for that on my account?
And yeah. Then,
okay.
Each of your characters, because you have to unlock the characters individually. Each of your characters out of the game can level up to level 16. So you can get small perks. It's similar to like League of Legends, where you've got like your summoner abilities, and you can do tweaks with down the tree.
I think this is probably how they're going to make their money.
Yeah,
I would imagine. But
the other thing is the healing. You've got bandages, but they're global. So like I've got 20 bandages, mm-hmm. but that's like if I used to the next game, I have 18 bandages. Like it doesn't restart.
Oh right.
Yeah, those.
I don't think global was the right.
Well, outside of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And so those are drops that you've got to make or whatever. Awesome.
Huh. Yeah. This all sounds really good. Like, I really want to get into that game and check that out a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty intense. You're playing against two other teams of four, and that's... Yeah.
And there's spawns all over the place. Zombies are just
constant.
There's
zombies fucking everywhere, yeah.
And boss zombies and...
So it's not like a lane. You don't really have like a lane.
No, it's more of a circle, the one we played.
Yeah.
So it's like a clock. Let's say it's a clock, and at like 2, 6, 8, and 10, there's
the flag, the
flags. And then at like, you know, in the other corners, there's the cars that you're trying to fill up with supplies so that you can get out of there first.
Hmm. I'm glad to see they're kind of like transforming the MOBA genre. You know, it's not like just another MOBA game's coming out. They're like, well, let's take the MOBA and let's twist it a little bit in this way and that way.
Yeah.
Which kind of sounds like this
game. I wouldn't
even
say this is like... I wouldn't even call it a MOBA. I don't think...
I think this is closer to a MOBA than... What did you call them? LPGs?
A lane pushing game?
Yeah. This is a true battle arena style.
Yeah, this is
game.
Like a... Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of MOBAs, Chad, you've been playing a little more Heroes of the Storm, right?
I have. I talked about this last week, so...
Well done.
God damn it. You're
going sideways. I'm not going to talk a whole lot about it. I talked about it last week. The only thing that I'm going to bring up is I hit level 10, and level 10 unlocks hero quests. So I got to take a look a little bit about into this. And so basically, when you hit level 10 on your main leveling tree, it unlocks hero quests. And basically, it has quests for all 25 heroes. And it's all just, so far, it's all just play a certain number of games. So if you play two games with a character, you get that first tier and you get a 50,000 XP bonus. And then you've got to play four games with that person. You get the next tier, which is 75,000. And then the next one is 10 games. If you play another 10 games with that guy, you unlock the hero coloring number one. So you can actually start coloring your guy differently. And I don't know what goes past that because 10's a shitload of games. But I think it's kind of a cool idea because it's kind of like Smite where you're leveling up your different heroes or characters individually, but you're actually getting benefits from doing it. Like it's fun. It's fun to do that because you're
aesthetic.
Actually getting perks.
Aesthetic,
purely aesthetic. Okay. You get you know two different color tintings that you can do past the base one, so three total. And then you could get mount tintings as well. So you can have your mount colored
to a point.
So you
that's
can just
how
have
it
pink
is
on pink. Just
well,
pink
no,
pants.
Because you don't get to pick the colors. The games pick the three colors.
Oh, it's preset up.
It's preset up, but you can choose which one you want to do. So you can go and you see a guy that's a different color, then you know that he's played a bunch of games with that character.
Oh, okay.
You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. But in Smite, you could like play one character but get the color
exactly.
for a different one
exactly.
if you wanted to.
Exactly.
So, and then there's the golden skins, which I was never really a big fan of. Did you guys see the Bastet new...
Bastet Catwoman skin?
Yeah, Catwoman skin.
I have not seen it yet.
I mean, she looks just straight out of the, I believe it's the TV series, the anime series, the Batman or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, the big goggles and the tight skin. Yeah, they went with the Michelle Pfeiffer kind of look, too, from Batman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you kind of see that one coming.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, there's sort of the straight ripping shit off now. I mean, you got the Darth Vader, and now you got Catwoman. So I think they're just going to keep going with that until they get sued. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, Heroes of the Storm, man. I wish I could play that one. That game looks good. Looks like a casual MOBA, and that's what I need. I need something a little more casual when it comes to MOBAs, man. My fucking heart rate goes up when I play.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the thing. We really enjoyed Dawngate, and it's a good game, but we don't play it. You know, it's just there's so much
Well, it's
to
more
play.
Of the same. For me, it was more of the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what else we got?
You tell me. You got the notes.
Oh, yeah, I do. I guess I could... I mean, it's probably not even worth mentioning, but I'm about to beat Mark of the Ninja. I'm like 2 years too late on this one. But it's a good game, man. You don't see a lot of 2D stealth games, but they did it well. And that was an indie, I think, that made some waves when it came out.
Yeah, I liked it. Popular. Unfortunately, I had to play it on a keyboard. I have a thing.
Oh, yeah, you got to have a controller.
I got to the last level, and it just got too hard. I mean, at a certain point, my fingers were cramping and stuff. Yeah. I have been playing Thinking with Time Machine, the worst title ever, I think, maybe. It is a free mod for Portal 2. It picks off exactly where the original game leaves off. So remember, spoilers, the only ending there is for Portal 2 is you walk outside and there's grass. You finally made it to the... Mm-hmm. So this, the whole thing falls apart and it was a soundstage and you're still underground.
Yeah.
And so it adds a whole new mechanic to the game where now there's time traveling, essentially. So what you can do is record your actions, stop the recording, move aside, play it back, and a clone of you does what you just did.
That sounds
that
exactly
make
like Braid.
I still don't remember.
Braid.
My...
But Braid was 2D and...
But that's basically the Braid mechanic, is you were going back and making clones of yourself to
you
do
could
things.
Reverse time and... Yeah.
Okay. What it was? Really?
Yeah.
There was two of you on screen at the same time?
Yeah, you could get a bunch of you.
Oh, okay. Maybe I never got that far. I had a hard time with that game. I don't know why.
I only played on your account, and it was like, okay, I can see where the fun is, but this is too much for me.
Yeah, I gave it up. So anyway, if you really enjoy... Now, all the bells and whistles of Portal 2 is not there. You know, it's it's independently developed, so... it doesn't have all the voice acting. There is a story, though. It looks like some of the smart robots, like the ones that you play in the two-player version, they took over now that she's dead. Doris? What? Help me out here.
Oh, yeah.
Doss? What's her name? GLaDOS?
GLaDOS,
thank you.
He's looking at us like we're idiots.
And so she's definitely dead because I saw her corpse, and you go through that whole area and, you know, they're fucking with you and you hear them talking about you. But, man, if you thought the original game was brain-busting, add a whole new element to it where now your ghost can be making portals, but those disappear as soon as you start a new recording. And it has, you know, I think number 4 is where I first got stuck. And I was stuck there for maybe, you know, 10, 15 minutes. So it's going to get worse if I'm only at 4.
How long have you played? Do we know the gameplay?
No. And, I mean, it's free, so why not? If you really loved Portal or Portal 2, the level design is not as good as Portal 1 or Portal 2. But, you know, if you want to bust your brain, this will definitely do it. And it does it well. And it's free.
Yeah.
Again.
Now, is it a standalone free game, or do you have to have Portal or Portal 2?
Yeah, I had to download Portal 2 just to run it, actually.
Okay, so this is like a Portal 2 mod.
Yeah, exactly what it is. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, well, I'm glad to see they're still making, you know, like, Portal 2 is still a viable game. I guess it only came out not too long ago, but...
Dude, I mean, it's... If you want to play Portal 2, there is tons and tons of ranked, user-created, levels that people have done, and which would be cool for me, but Portal 2 for me is a multiplayer game.
Yeah.
Like, that was maybe the best multiplayer experience, two-player multiplayer experience I've ever had. I mean, that was so much fun.
Yeah.
And I played most of it with, like, a non-gamer, mm-hmm. and he loved it, you know? But just because it's, you know, good puzzles that you're playing with your buddy.
But once you play through that content, it's over, which is why it was so necessary to have user-created
absolutely.
Content.
And then, but my biggest pet peeve with it is that the user-created never did two-player maps, to my knowledge. Maybe really? Now there is,
they
but at
have
the beginning
to.
There wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that seems difficult to make, but that's a great two-player game.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about hardware earlier in the show here. I wanted to give a shout-out to some software programs, though, because I've done a lot of research trying to find the best software for certain needs of mine, and I've come up on a few gems. One of those we've talked about before, DxTory. DxTory. It's a weird name. I think it's a Japanese company, but that's a great software for recording your games. It records, it captures the DirectX output. So it'll record your game and it won't show the Steam pop-ups. It records uncompressed. So I recorded an hour of Starbound 1080p and that was about 400 gigs.
Jesus.
So crazy.
So yeah, you need a big hard drive. But when you're working with video, you want very uncompressed video. And then when you edit it and export it, then it's, you know, it's... Like maybe an hour worth of footage would be like 3 gigs or something, depending on what codec you're using. But yeah, it's a great program. It's worked really well for me. You can even use it to stream, but you have to have like it sends an output somewhere. So you still have to use, if you want to stream, XSplit Broadcaster is what I use.
OBS is
OBS. I've never heard of
Open Broadcasting System or something like that. That's the one that I've used before, and, that one's pretty easy. That one's free also.
Yeah. Now the DxTory, did you talk about the audio where you can run two lines?
That's a great thing about DxTory too. You can
or
record
more than two.
You can record multiple audio sources, and the best part about that is, so I mean, you can record your game audio and then you, and also your friends talking to you on Skype, and then you can record on a separate channel your audio of you talking into the mic, and that makes it great because when you put that in a video editing software, you get two audio tracks and you can lower or raise
with
one,
levels,
edit things out. It gives you a lot more flexibility when working with it in post. So DxTory, man, great program. I don't know what the price is on that. I want to say like $30.
I think it is. I was looking for the price. I happened to find a copy for free, but I think it was $30.
Was it under your bed, or
how I located it under my bed
on your local torrent site.
The other thing is their free version is of the full package. The only thing is it leaves a watermark, so there is no, go download the free one, try it out, see if you like it, and then if you like it, you can pay for it. So
yeah, or buy it for 3,600 yen.
How bad is the watermark?
I don't know. I got the free version. So
gotcha.
But yeah, that's definitely. And I've tried a lot of recording software. I've used Fraps. I've used Lightcam 100 FPS or whatever that thing was. I've used Bandy. I've used several things. I even have like some hardware solutions I've used. But DxTory seems to do the trick, and I can record Starbound in 1080p, but some more graphically intense games, I have to knock it down to 720.
The one thing I would say is you don't have to, but it works a lot better if you have multiple hard drives.
Yes.
Because your write speed affects how much you can, the quality of your video. So if you're writing to the same hard drive that you're using to play your game on, it really slows down your write speed.
Yeah, definitely.
That's I'm going to be working towards on the new rig.
Yeah, and that's usually what you want. You want a really fast SSD that you're running your operating system and your games on, and then you want a big, fat, like, just normal hard disk drive just to store all your recorded footage and illegal movies that you downloaded. So that's the
how dare you, sir? Accuse me.
Accusations. But also, I wanted to mention another software that I used. I was actually writing scripts in like DOS to back up my games automatically, so I could back them up with one click. And I had this idea: I was going to make this big long script. It was going to back up all. It was going to do all sorts of things. It was this great idea. Then I was like, you know what? Every great idea has already been done. So sure enough, I went looking on Google, and there's a program called Game Save Manager. It's got a GUI. It's like super easy to use. It backs up all your games, can restore your games. It saves even config files. You can constantly download new databases, so like when new games come out, then it automatically adds the entries for those. And I've been using it, and it backs it up to like one file. All my games back up to a file that's about a megabyte.
Because wow. Like it's all text, right?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah. It's pretty safe. Files are pretty small.
Yeah.
But it's great. If your hard drive crashes or you have to reinstall Windows, like, this is a great way to back up your games.
There's a new whole type of software paired with a whole new type of hardware. Have you guys heard of Teledildonics?
No.
It's...
Sounds like a porn metric.
It's exactly what it is. It's a basically it's one person manipulating some sort of device at another computer with a joystick, but the other computer is physically interacting with a human. So you're controlling a dildo or a vibrator, but you're controlling it.
Hmm.
And the whole genre is called teledildonics.
Teledildonic, yeah.
So we're getting closer to Demolition Man. Is that the movie where they don't actually have sex with each other?
Yeah, they just put on those weird hats.
Yeah.
The I think that shells. Also happened in Coneheads.
Yeah, they did it without it, right?
They put on these weird Chris Farley and some Conehead chick put on a weird like princess helmet, and Chris Farley got all hot and sweaty, and then Dan Aykroyd walked in. Anyway,
wow, I've never seen Coneheads, but
what?
How much was that game manager?
It's free, completely free. Okay. Yeah, and it is great software. I highly recommend getting that. And I manually back my shit up. So, like, once a week, I'll start it up, see if there's any new database updates, just run the update. You can scan your hard drive for any games that you have. It finds all the games that are installed, and you just choose which ones you want to back up, and it does its thing.
Wow.
I'm sure it's mining Bitcoins for the maker for you, off your rig as well.
Seriously.
Quite possibly. But I guess the last piece of software I want to mention is 3D Mark. We brought that up earlier. And that's just, it tests your computer for, just to see how well it performs for video games. I've been using 3D Mark for a long, long time. And the newest version is really a lot more simple to use. And it'll give you a score. There's three different, there's several different tests you can run.
Yeah, benchmarks are always like multiple numbers. It's interesting that there isn't one universal number. I know Windows tried to do it, but it didn't really
catch on. Well, this tries to do it too for gamers. Like 3D Mark has been around a while, and people will compare their scores, and it'll give you a readout. It'll say you are better than, in my case, 96% of other people who have ran this test.
Funny how you just had that off.
Yeah, that's crazy.
96. I'm in the top 4%. I just, you know. Casually bring that up.
I think it would just laugh at me, not even give me a score.
But if you want to know where
what computer are you running this off?
If you want to know where you stand or where your rig stands, then that's a great software to use.
Is that website Tom's? Is that still around? That used to run show all the benchmarking.
Tom's Hardware has used to be my go to site. Before I started listening to all these like tech podcasts, like Tom's Hardware was my site that I'd go to every day just for my news. Like I wouldn't know what's going on in Russia with Crimea War, but no, they don't sell anything.
Oh, I see. It's just talk.
It's just benchmarking and talking hardware.
Mm. Yeah, well, they got articles. It's still around, right? Whatever. Oh yeah, they're alive and well. They're one of the biggest hardware sites out
there. The hardware subreddit is huge. It's probably the biggest PC under the PC gaming banner. Hardware or build my PC, those are the two really big ones.
But do you have to go through a lot of crap just to find some good stuff on that?
I don't know. I don't look through it. You can see during my quietness during your talking that I
he goes straight to Gone Wild when he gets onto Reddit.
The last hardware I was so excited about was Teledildonics.
Teledildonics.
So you're going to get one of these and see how it works?
No, but it's pretty
call somebody in like Scotland or Ireland or whatever and try it out.
Pretty interesting how like webcam girls, I'm sure, are going to let guys manipulate their dildos for them. That's interesting, isn't it?
Wow, we just got way off the subject.
You're saying a webcam girl is going to China could give a Canadian a hand job. Is that what's happening here?
I don't think that's going to be the first way, but yeah, eventually. I mean, it's going to be a plastic hand. But.
Well, we're just going to get to the point where you just put your dick in something and it's putting something in somebody else's vagina. And you're just literally having sex
pretty much
with them.
Yeah. Hmm. But she's the girl in China is going to have something on her forehead where every time her head goes down, like the thing on his dick is going to move down. So he's going to get the whole impression because he's going to hold up the screen to his.
Okay, we got way out of
I got to take like 10 shots now.
I know. How's the time? Are we?
Yeah, we're at 1:10, and I'm all out of stuff. So
we'll
how
save,
about you guys?
We'll save this for next week then.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Let's.
You want to do the spiel?
Do the spiel. I think we've done enough promoting here, but just for the hell of it, you can catch us at dlgaming.net. That's our website. You can email us at dudes@dlgaming.net and check out our Steam group, DL Gaming. And yeah, get a hold of us. Don't be afraid to hit us up on Steam.
Yeah, and we're playing games. We're playing with podcasters. So if you guys want to play, hit us up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Later.